ministry in the church can be life-giving and life-changing. And in the midst of it, we all need faithful companions along the road. Welcome to Along the Road, a podcast on faith and leadership for ministry leaders of the PCUSA.
So you're a church leader serving as a ruling elder or a deacon, but you also have almost a dozen other roles: sibling, parent, friend, biker, landscape architect, chauffeur, builder, grocer, fill in the blank. Come join us in the midst of your day, wherever you are, to be inspired in your role in the church, become nourished, and renew your call. Formation as a leader doesn't happen all at once, so let's walk along this road together. I'm Martha Miller, and I'm excited to travel on this journey with you. It's exciting today to talk with Amanda Kraft. Amanda currently serves within the PCUSA Office of the General Assembly in the area of immigration advocacy. And while welcoming you here today, Amanda, let's get right into it, as I'm sure your advocacy work gives you a chance to talk to a lot of different people. Can you tell us a little bit about what advocacy really is and how it connects to us as Presbyterians?
Well, thanks, Martha, for the invitation to come and talk about the ways in which we engage in advocacy, especially from a point of faith. And I think it's interesting, too, we throw around this term a lot, and I don't know that there is a sense of clarity about what advocacy is. Mm-hmm. But from my perspective, advocacy really is about the opportunity to engage in creating right relationships. It's about addressing those harms that have occurred. And that can be in any relationship, right? It could be an individual person-to-person relationship, but I tend to focus more on the structural, systemic kinds of injustice that happens and the advocacy that it takes to right those wrongs. And so it is about engaging the public space, which for Presbyterians, we have always been called to do, right? How do we think about the way in which Christ's ministry pushes us to be engaged with what we witness as being wrong in the world? And how do we make a way or a path to correct why that has happened? So it's an opportunity really to actively engage faith in a public space and utilizing your voice to be a part of something that hopefully is leading for transformation. And that's always, to me, the guiding post, right? How am I trying to be a part of something that is asking for change and seeking transformation, always leaning towards justice, always leaning towards repair? And for Presbyterians, that has always been an important question as we think about how we live out our faith beyond Sunday worship. You know, Sunday worship is the space where we praise God collectively. Advocacy becomes the space where we're utilizing that praise to thank God for the goodness in the world and fixing what we've done wrong, to consider that as our way of praising God and thanking God for being the one who calls us to this faith.
Thank you for helping us identify some of that. It made me think about how in the church where I worship, at the end of every service, everybody turns around in their pew and looks at the door. And part of our benediction is remembering that we go out from this worship space into the world to be people of Christ. And it sounds like that's really the connection that all of this is making. So I really appreciate that. I admit that sometimes I feel passionate or I have a strong opinion about an issue, but because I might not be an expert on the topic, I'm apprehensive to speak up about it, assuming there are others who can speak more eloquently or maybe have more wisdom than I do on an issue. Do you find that to be a part of your advocacy work?
Absolutely. I mean, it's fascinating to me. And I live in the immigration world, right? That's what I'm asked to do on behalf of the PCUSA, mm-hmm. is really to understand how federal policy is affecting the way people live in the world and how we continue to push the government to see and to understand the suffering that's caused by those policies to be able to apply a humanitarian and a human-focused lens on top of those policies, but also just to respect the rights that they say exist in those policies that they don't always allow to fully flourish. And I don't have all the information. So it's this dynamic world that's constantly changing, and there's lots of actors in it, and there's lots of stakeholders in it. And so I fully understand the feeling of not feeling like I'm capable and equipped enough then to talk to a federal lawmaker about the issue. And what I really try to do with folks in the church when I hear that fear, right? How do I walk into a place, oftentimes with people who have decision-making power to rectify some of the harm that's being caused? How do I talk about this issue with any sense of certainty about what I'm saying? And I know that they often don't want to cause harm in the process of it. Mm-hmm. And what I continue to say to people is that you're not supposed to be an expert on a subject, right? We can find folks, right? That's my job. I can find the network of folks who can speak to the subject matter at hand. What you're really called to do is speak from a place of faith, and to do that authentically and genuinely, and to be able to say that because you speak from a place of faith, you have great concern for your siblings in Christ. And that's really sort of the grounding principle for how people should look at advocacy, right? It's not necessarily always understanding the issue, but it's always about thinking, how do we speak about each other through our faith that allows us to understand this mysterious and inexplicable love that God calls us into? That's where we should be speaking from. And I think that's the integrity of that meeting, right? Me speaking to the issue and the legislative bill is important, but for lawmakers to understand, their constituents really care. They really deeply, intentionally care about how people are living in this world. And it's my responsibility to take that with me when I go into my job. So I think that's a really important piece to really live into and to lean into who we are called as people of faith, and to be willing to talk about it in a public space, which I know can be uncomfortable for folks.
Yeah, and I think that's really important, particularly for this audience, because many of our listeners don't have a theological degree, haven't been to a seminary or taken theological classes, but that doesn't mean we're not theologians and that we don't have deep faith that we can share with others. I love that you've brought that to that faith perspective. And certainly one of the things we're called to as Christians is sharing our faith. And as somebody whose ministry includes supporting others, being a resource as they advocate, is there something that you tell those you work with about ways they can live into and speak about what they believe?
You know, I think it's fascinating in the Presbyterian world. We often think about theology and ecclesiology and formation that happens by folks who have been particularly academically prepared to do that work, right?
Right.
But as we're all theologians in this world, we're always, right, taking in this sort of creation around us, and we're making opinions about how God is engaged in that and God is revealed through that. And I think that's so important, Martha, that you bring up that idea, right, of we're always being called to be theologians. And how do we start, I think, being particularly aware of how we do that? And I think that's where the sharing of our faith becomes important. I distinctly remember as a young adult, I was in my first meeting with folks in Guatemala. I was serving as a young adult volunteer in Guatemala. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time I was in my placement, and I was in this room of all pastors, and they asked me to pray. And I remember the anxiety that brought on. One, praying in a different language, but two, not feeling comfortable about how I talked about my faith and how I communicated that with God in this public space. Mm-hmm. And that was such an important moment in allowing me to realize that that all takes practice. Right? That is some of that muscle memory that we have to utilize sort of discipline and practice to figure out how do we get there where we're comfortable about it. It's like doing anything, right? It's like playing an instrument. You have to practice it to get used to it. And for me, I think for church leaders to start to really figure out, how do I do this? How do I feel comfortable about praying at a meal in the fellowship hall, right? Are we inviting folks to do that on a regular basis where we're hearing different voices? Am I engaging with my neighbor in a way that's really about my faith? And not necessarily that it's about converting or changing the way somebody would feel, but am I centered, right, in my interaction with them? Am I patient? Am I loving? Am I kind, right? All of those ways that we can engage how we're called to be in the world and reflect Christ's light in the world, those are practiced ways in which we can start to think, oh, these are ways that I can engage and share my faith that really are about transformation. It's about repairing those relationships, about creating right relationships. It's about engaging spaces that we're often uncomfortable in. And so being in those places where we don't always fully understand what's happening, but that we want to be there because we want to learn about each other. We want to learn about how to care for each other. So I think it's always about entering into that space with a deep respect and patience and being fully aware that we're going to be uncomfortable, but live through that discomfort in hopes of learning that we can exist in different ways and we can share that faith in different ways.
Yeah, and I think all of that is so important. And for us to remember that God listens to all of us, whether we use the flowy, pretty words or whether we use our common language, that God listens to us and it is there for all of our words. Really, really important things for us to remember as church leaders and as we are forming ourselves always. I like that idea of practicing our faith as we serve as well.
Can I add something to that?
Please do.
I was in a conversation recently and we were doing a Bible study and someone in the group reminded us that even in biblical studies, we're looking at Jesus's life. Jesus didn't always have all the answers. Jesus wasn't always the insider with the connection with God, right? And I think that's so important. Jesus was constantly learning how he either gave into human structures that created harm or that he didn't have a full picture, right? There's all these stories in his life, in the Gospels, that help us understand, right? We're constantly learning, and we don't have all the answers. But when we have this opportunity to engage each other, somebody else has a piece of it, right? And so to understand God really is communicating through all of us, we have to be willing to sit in that space and be present with each other for that to happen, for us to learn from one another.
Right. And what a great connection to the fact, I love that you said that we each have a piece of it, because as we talked about before, about how we may be apprehensive to speak up if we aren't the expert. We may not be the expert, but we may have a piece of that needs to be heard and that can be appreciated and learned from. I love that. I also like the fact that you brought up your first experience in Guatemala and having also served as a mission co-worker in Central America. I wonder if there are things you experienced through that ministry that we can learn from, ways that you saw church leaders interacting, speaking up, sharing their faith, serving as advocates. Are there pieces of that ministry that are important for us to hear?
What a great question. In my mission service, I got to work with communities that really, one, were deeply led by faith, right? That faith was really a constant in their lives. Often, societally, socially, were quite marginalized. So their ability to have much control over what was going to happen outside of their private daily life was very little and very limited. And so this ability to be able to lead with faith and knowing, right, that God is walking with me, God is accompanying me in each step is so critical to how you exist in the world when so much of it is out of your control. And I think that's so helpful, especially for folks from the United States who are from dominant culture, where we believe we have some more control over our lives and where sometimes systems can benefit us. It was so powerful to be in a place where that was flipped on its head. And to then understand why our relationship to God is critical for all of us. And to help people understand, one, what is their position power? We do have power in systems. How do we utilize that? How do we organize around that? How do we help then create change that could alleviate suffering somewhere else? I think that's a very important lesson. But the other is, how do we fully understand, right, that even if we believe we may have this control, ultimately it's God who's trying to guide us in a certain way. And often those systems aren't necessarily leading us in the same direction. And so I think there is this opportunity then to think through, oh my gosh, I was putting my faith in a system, not in my relationship with God. What does it mean then for me to readjust, again, writing that relationship with God and thinking about how do I reorient my life than to advocate for change against a system that's not working? Or if the system's working for me, but I can see it's not working for my sibling, what does that mean, right? So again, understanding how we exist in the world and how God is calling us to really critically think about, maybe that's not the way we should exist, or maybe there's even something better. And that's all a part of the way in which we praise and thank God for being that presence in our lives. There are these ways that we can experience how others live in the world that, again, it's a part of that peace, right, of how God is calling us to be, that enriches the way in which we understand creation and the gift of creation. But we have to, again, be willing to exercise those opportunities to be in those spaces where we can think about how to do that differently.
Yeah, thank you for that. That's really helpful for us. As we think about going out of those doors from our worship space, that those doors are very big and lead us lots of different places and encounters with people who experience the world and systems much differently than we do. So you have an opportunity to sort of have the ear of a group of church leaders as they listen in on this conversation in the podcast. Are there things that you wish they knew or remembered or advice that you might have as they serve in these important ministries?
One, thank you for your service. I really do think it's such an important role to play for the church, for congregations, and the way in which we then live this out in the world. I think it's such an important thing to do. And so I am very grateful for folks who do that and make important decisions about how church life happens and it continues. I think all of that is really key to who we are as Presbyterians. I also think, and I am guilty of this, I was guilty of this as we talked, that oftentimes I talk in these very large terms, right? We think about systems in very large ways. They're concepts that feel you know, sort of much beyond our power of influence. And what I want church leaders to go away with is it's the choices that we make and the way in which we interact with each other that really are so important. So being able to be in that place in the church where you're listening to what's happening within your congregation and you're listening to what's happening in your community and you're willing to sit with that and think about, are we walking in the way that's leaning towards justice, that's leaning towards love, that's leaning towards peace? Is our congregation walking in that way? And those concepts, again, can be these very large concepts, but how do we live them out in daily life, I think is so key. And that leads us right into that desire to be advocates for change. So I think always remembering, right, this way in which we live locally expands upon itself. And we can't control necessarily what happens outside of that, but we can make really significant decisions about how we live together within the congregation, how we care for one another in the congregation, and how do we care for each other in the community? And what kind of partner are we within that community? So I think those are really important pieces for church leaders to embrace and to see how their roles help others engage that. I'm often amazed when I work with a congregation to listen to the vast amount of mission and ministries that they're doing outside of their congregations? And how do those ministries and missions enrich the congregation's life and then enrich the community? How do we truly start to walk together within those? I think there's such amazing opportunities for us to, again, figure out how do we build those right relationships? And lots of churches are doing that, right? So it's just a continuation of supporting each other in that process.
Thank you so much, Amanda. I really have loved this time that we've had together and truly appreciate your ministry and your way with words in inspiring us while grounding us in that faith, your willingness to share aspects of your own faith and your beliefs with the rest of us. We hope that you've been nourished through this episode of Along the Road. You're invited to visit the website for PCUSA Leader Formation for additional nourishment for ruling elders and deacons, www.pcusa.org/leader-formation.
This has been the Along the Road podcast. We look forward to crossing paths with you again soon.